If you are looking for even more help and guidance on your breakup, I have a few different options for you to take your healing to the next level. I have 4 different online courses depending on what stage of the breakup that you're in, from beginning all the way into moving on after heartbreak. Or you can bundle all of my courses together and use the code PODCAST to get $25 off my course bundle. I also have my 30-day no contact challenge to help hold you accountable in going no contact with your ex. And we have our free Facebook group, Healing Hearts Club, where you can connect with other people going through breakups all over the world. To learn more about any of these resources, head to the show notes where you can learn more about my courses, take the quiz to figure out which course is best for you, or join the Facebook group. And don't forget to use the code PODCAST to get $25 off my course bundle. Welcome to the Heal Your Heartbreak podcast with your host, Breakup Bestie, aka me, Kendra. Breakups are hard, but you don't have to do it alone. Each week, I will be taking you through a different topic as it relates to breaking up, healing from heartbreak, growing in your single life, dating, and getting back into happier and healthier relationships. The goal of this show is to provide support, hope, tips, and to remind you that above all, this too shall pass. Welcome back to the Heal Your Heartbreak podcast. I have a solo episode for you guys today, which we haven't done in a little bit. Today, we're going to be talking all about dating post-breakup. And I know if you guys are regular listeners to the podcast, we heard from Bella Gondi 2 weeks ago, and she shared obviously all of her expertise with helping people date. And I loved her information so much. I had been wanting to record this particular episode for a while, and so I figured it would be a good follow-up. Today, I'm not so much focusing on exactly how to find love. That's not my forte at all. But I specifically wanted to do an episode connecting the ideas of dating post-breakup, because I think it really is a unique experience, especially for people who are still coming out of their breakup and not ready to date, but even just thinking about dating. So this episode is, I would say, is good for anyone, regardless of where you are, because I know that's like, it seems like it wouldn't be such an immediate thought, but that can be an immediate thought after going through a breakup, is feeling that dating again would be very daunting. And all these questions of, when do I do it? When can I start? All of that. So regardless, if you just went through a breakup and you're just curious about what dating looks like after that, if you are not quite ready to date, but you are in the process of healing from the breakup, if you have started dating and you don't feel like it's going as well as you would like it to. So really anyone across the spectrum here, and I'm going to break it down into 3 parts. The first one is, I will call, readiness. I asked on Instagram, I asked you guys what specifically you wanted me to talk about on this episode, and there were a lot of very clear themes. The number one question, which I'll answer first, is how do you know when you're ready to start dating again after the breakup? And I think my answer might surprise you even. So the first section we're going to talk about is this idea of readiness. The second one is going to be about mindset and fears around dating again. And then the third is going to be the actual process of dating post-breakup. So going on your first date, what expectations to have, what's normal to experience. And then I have a couple specific questions that were asked that I think will be good to go over as people who are listening to this are pretty fresh out of a breakup. So that's the lay of the land for today's episode. And I want to start with the most popular question that was asked, which is, how do you know if you're ready to start dating again? And I know a lot of people want a specific amount of time. And even in Bella's episode, she gave, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure she said 8 weeks. I assume that was a minimum that she was talking about, but I don't have a time frame. I think everyone is going to be extremely different. It depends on so many things. I even remember a friend of mine had gone through a divorce and she started dating someone, one of our mutual friends, really fast. And I remember talking to my AA sponsor about it and
naively being very judgmental, I said, I can't believe so-and-so is dating again. That seems so irresponsible. And my sponsor said, you have to remember that some people who are coming out of relationships, the relationship ended so long ago, even if it wasn't official, that it makes sense that they would start dating right away. So there's those situations. There are people who should be single for a longer if you're someone who has never been single in your life and has been in relationships for as long as you can remember. You're probably a good candidate to spend a good amount of time being on your own. So I don't have a time frame to give you guys. I would say 8 weeks is a good minimum and then going from there. But the qualifications that I would say for dating again is I don't think you need to be completely over your ex. I know that's something that people might expect me to say. I honestly think that the last part of healing from a breakup happens when you're dating, because you can do all this work, and hopefully you are doing all of this work in this more isolated bubble. That's your therapist, your friends, your journal. You're healing in this bubble. Stepping out into dating will very likely highlight some areas that you still have fears around, trauma around, pain around. So I actually think that's a necessity to step out into the dating realm and start, I guess, testing out some of your healing. And the thing that I always like to remind people too is you can start dating, and if it doesn't feel good or if it's detrimental and it's really ripping off this Band-Aid or opening up an old wound, you can stop. Just because you start dating doesn't mean you have to pursue it until you find, quote unquote, the one. This is something that you can step into, step back out of. You can start on the apps and then take a pause. So it's not this binding contract that you're getting into when it comes to beginning to date. So hopefully that can take some pressure off. But in terms of individual, when do I think you're ready to start dating again? I would say, obviously, you don't want to start dating if it's going to be a Band-Aid. Dating should never replace other healing work that you're doing. If you're just going out to date because you're in so much pain that you feel like the only thing that would help you is validation from someone else, you are not someone, in my opinion, that should be dating already. You should be in a place where you feel good on your own two feet, and dating is an addition to your life. It's not something that is filling a very desperate void in your soul or in your healing process. So it should be an addition, not a substitution in any way. It should also be something that you feel excited about. And remember, it can also be feeling anxious about, but it shouldn't be something where it's, I have to go do this. I have to find someone. It should be, okay, you know, I've spent some time really working on myself. I'm feeling much better. I'm just excited and curious to see what's out there. And I'm okay regardless of how it goes. And that's another thing that I tell people to think about is, if you can picture your first date post-breakup going terribly wrong, so whether you get ghosted after the date or it's just a bad date, picture how you would feel afterward. If you would feel absolutely devastated and it would just ruin things for you, then I would wait a little bit, because dating is, I would say, not for the faint of heart. There is always a likelihood that you're going to have a bad experience. So, and I see a lot of people do this where they go out on a date and it's a bad date and they're maybe ghosted afterwards or whatever, and they make that experience dictate how the future of their dating is going to go. So you have to remember that your first date is not a prediction of how the rest of it's going to go. So if you're going to make it that, then I would, again, wait a little bit on that. So those would be the things that I would recommend, is you feel in a place of curious, excited, You're not using it as a crutch. You're just using it as a supplement to how you're feeling. If you want to date because you're feeling so uncomfortable single that you just need companionship, again, I would pause. In my opinion, have a not only a strong support system with friends and community and all of that, but you should have a pretty good relationship with yourself, and you shouldn't feel like you have to date to not feel lonely. You should have other alternatives to loneliness rather than just going out on a bunch of dates. So that would be my readiness scale on things. And the next thing, once you decide that you are ready to date, I know that can come with a lot of negative self-talk, a lot of anxious what ifs, one of them being, how can I ever trust someone ever again? And the others being just that negative self-talk of, there's no one out there that's as good as my ex. I will never find someone like them. I'm the only single person out there. And I did a whole episode of what if it feels like you're the only single person. So I would go back and listen to that episode. It's just my thoughts on maintaining perspective while you're single. So you want to make sure, and I really liked what Bella addressed in her episode on that, of it's not an if, it's a when for finding someone. And when it comes to feeling scared that you're not going to find someone like your ex, this again goes back to being ready. I would make sure that you have a pretty objective viewpoint of your ex. If you're going into dating with your ex still up on this crazy high pedestal where you can't see anything wrong with them or with the relationship, I would again take a pause, because even your ex was not perfect. So if you're going into it with this illusion that your ex was perfect, the relationship was perfect, I don't think you're going to have a very positive experience when you're dating, because there's nothing that can convince you at that point that your ex is not the only person in the world for you. So again, a lot of this is just going to be retraining your brain. I love that it's not an if, it's a when. It's not a matter of if, it's a when. I'm going to find someone. I'm not the only single person. It's going to be good to have other single people that you can chat with about it and bounce things off of, and just have that feeling of not being alone, because you're not in this alone. And this idea of trusting yourself, which can be very scary when you're coming out of a situation where you were blindsided, or you thought you were with one person and then all of a sudden it was revealed that they were just a very different person. The idea of, how can I trust myself to know that that won't happen again? That's another big fear that everyone is going to go through. And again, a lot of this is going to be individually processing the breakup and all of your feelings around it. But I do think when it comes to trust, a big thing is going to be learning how to trust yourself. And trusting yourself comes down to processing your last breakup, processing your past relationships, getting really honest with yourself on patterns that you've noticed with yourself. If there's anything that self-esteem wise that needs to be worked on, making sure you're doing things to work on that. Because a lot of the time, the people that we end up picking are people that are a reflection of how we see ourselves. So we wonder, how can I stay in this relationship that's not working? And a lot of the time it's because we feel like that's all we deserve. So you need to learn how to trust yourself. You need to build healthy self-esteem. You need to have faith in yourself that if a red flag were to pop up, you would see it, acknowledge it, and then take the appropriate steps of setting a boundary or completely walking away. And I also believe another important step before you start dating again is getting really clear on not only the kind of person you want to date. I know we all have, like, can make these wish lists of qualifications that we want in a person, but I really think it's also important to get clear on how you want to feel within a relationship. I do go over all of this in the Moving On After Heartbreak course.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It is so important to share your thoughts and feelings while going through a breakup, especially if it's something you're feeling any guilt or shame around. I know whenever I'm struggling with a certain thought or situation and I keep it to myself, it gets heavier and heavier and feels harder and harder to manage. I truly believe we are as sick as our secrets. Therapy has always been a safe space for me to have a judgment-free zone to get things off my chest. Whether it's something from my past, a current struggle, or something I'm anxious about in the future, I always feel lighter when I'm able to share something that feels scary. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/heartbreak today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/heartbreak. The last time I went through a breakup, I know my mom was someone I was really able to lean on and get support from. She has always been a rock for me through heartbreak and everything in between. And with Mother's Day right around the corner, I wanted to share an idea of something super special that you can gift to your mom. MyLifeInABook.com is a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Every week, they will email your mom a question, and she can either type out an answer or record one. And at the end, MyLifeInABook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book, and they can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. I gifted my mom this, and it means so much to me that I can not only learn so many of her stories, but also preserve them for my kids and future generations. My mom has already talked about how fun it's been for her to reflect on her past and think about things that she hasn't in so long. It even prompted her to dig up some old photos from when she was in the newspaper for being the only female mail carrier in Detroit in the 60s. So cool. Check out mylifeinabook.com and use code HEARTBREAK at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com. Use code HEARTBREAK for 10% off today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Which honestly is, I think it's everything I did after my breakup to get back into dating. So getting really clear on how you want to feel in a relationship, the kind of partner you want to be with, getting clear on non-negotiables. If you're someone who is coming out of a relationship where the person wasn't going to, like, they weren't going to commit to you, they weren't sure about marriage, or you guys differed on some really key value, it's going to be really important that you set that as a non-negotiable moving forward. So if the person couldn't commit to you, you have to say, if this person doesn't commit by 3 months or whatever that looks like for you, then I'm moving on, then I'm out. And knowing that you can set those expectations and act on them, I think that is the biggest way that we not only build trust within ourselves, but also build self-esteem. Because what we're saying when we do something like that is we're saying, I know I deserve this. I know I'm worth this. And if I'm not getting this, then I'm going to step away because I don't need to stoop down to a level where I'm going to get hurt again, or that I'm going to be in a situation where I'm not getting what I deserve. So I think setting all of those things ahead of time is key here, because we can have these things kind of floating around in our brains, and then we meet someone and all those brain chemicals happen. As Dr. Amen said in our episode, he calls it like cocaine brain. So your brain gets pretty hijacked by all the dopamine and serotonin and oxytocin and all of that stuff. And a lot of those things that you're thinking about can go out the window. So it's very important to be very clear before getting in, especially on things that you know have been an issue or things that you know have caused a lot of pain in this past breakup or in past relationships. So I know I use this example a lot in episodes, but it's just the thing that I'm most familiar with. But I have this pattern of being with people who would say that they didn't think they wanted a relationship. So I would exist in these quasi relationships, non-committal, what we would now call situationships. And it kept causing me pain. So instead of just writing off dating altogether or just saying, oh, I just have a bad picker, I just always end up in these situations, I had to take some accountability in that realm and get really serious on this is a very strong boundary that I have to have. And I have to believe that it's a worthy boundary on my end. I had to get clear on the fact that I deserve to be in a relationship. So if someone's not going to give that to me, I deserve to walk away. And I think that also moves into the question of how do I not be afraid if I'm in a lot of pain or I feel like I have these scars. And in my book, I use the rollerblade example or the knee pad example. I love rollerblading. And 10 plus years ago, I had a really bad fall on my knee and I had to go to urgent care and all of that stuff. And instead of writing off rollerblading, which I definitely could have done because that wasn't the first time I fell on my knee, I decided that this is the time to start implementing knee pads. So if we use that example with dating after a breakup, if we can identify the troubled spots that we have in relationships or I was broken up with because of X, Y, or Z, instead of building up this entire huge wall around us when it comes to dating, we can identify what are our knee pads, what are things that I need to look out for, what are things I need to set boundaries around, what are conversations that I need to have early on in the dating process. So for me, and this was actually a question that I got asked when you guys answered what you wanted to hear on this episode, was when is it too early to talk about defining the relationship? If you're someone who is anxious, I don't want to come off as too much, but I also don't want to be in a position where 6 months in, I'm still stuck in the situationship. So for me, and again, I guess this comes down to comfort level, I started asking pretty much right away. I'm talking first or second date. It wasn't in the fact of what are your plans? It was more of I'm someone that really sees myself getting married and having kids someday. And that's the journey that I'm on right now. I'm not just dating around. And then I would ask them what their goals were for being on the apps or being, and it's not so much, will you commit to me? It's just, are you looking for commitment? I'm looking for commitment. I don't know if I'm looking for commitment with you. I just met you. But I just need to know if I'm barking up the wrong tree. So I would start having those conversations really early on and not saying they need to make you a boyfriend or a girlfriend within the first couple weeks. But if it's something that you feel nervous to have the conversation around and it keeps getting pushed off, if you say, hey, I want to just have a check-in on how we're doing. Are you seeing anyone else? Is this exclusive? If you don't feel comfortable having that conversation around it, or you keep getting pushed or they get defensive of, oh, I just like how this is going now. I used to be so scared to have that conversation because I thought the worst thing that they could tell me was, I don't want to be in a relationship with you. But I had to realize that the worst thing that could happen is I stay in something that clearly is not going anywhere. And I spend months, or in a lot of situations that I hear about, years with someone that has no plans of ever committing to me. So no is not the worst thing that you could hear. And I had to really know that to my inner core before I could feel comfortable having those conversations. So I'm realizing I skipped around a little bit. So those are things to keep in mind. I know for me, I had to think through some of these scenarios beforehand because it just made me feel better. And again, going back to how to trust yourself, it made me feel like I could trust myself more if I had, well, what if this happens? What if, you know, this fear comes up or things like that? So now I want to move into when it actually comes to the first date that you're having or thinking about the first date. I'd say it's very normal, and I can think back to my first date post-breakup. It's very normal to want to cancel, to just say, I don't want to go. And this isn't me telling you to ignore your gut. If you have a really sinking feeling that this is not a good idea, trust that. But it's just know that it's normal to think, I can't do this. I don't want to do this, and to want to cancel. So just have that in the back of your mind. Doesn't mean you should cancel it. It's also going to be completely normal that during the date, you're just thinking about your ex. And that's not an alarm bell going off. I think people believe that if they're just comparing the person to your ex, that means you should stop. You should not be dating. I just think our brains like to make comparisons. This is a brand new person that you've never met before. So your brain is going to compare them to the relationship you just came out of. So I wouldn't have that to be cause for concern. What I would recommend is, even if you're making these comparisons of, oh, they don't dress as well as my ex, or, oh, they don't like sushi, my ex and I loved sushi. So instead of just focusing on that, I would recommend at least identifying mentally three things that you do like about the person that you're on a date with that don't have to do with your ex. And if you can go into it with that perspective of looking for things that are positive that aren't like your ex, that's just a great exercise, and your brain will start doing that automatically. But again, completely normal. It's also completely normal once you leave the date to feel sad, to cry, honestly, to feel like you have been placed right back into the beginning of your breakup. What we do, in my opinion, is when we're leaving that first date with someone new, we're comparing the connection and the feelings that we had for our ex across the entire relationship, meaning this is someone that you had gotten to know very intimately, so have a lot of history with. And so you walk away from a first date and you're like, I didn't feel any of those things with this person. And of course not. You just spent maybe an hour with them. So it's normal to cry and feel sad. Again, that doesn't mean you did anything wrong. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't try again. It just means this is a normal part of the process. It is also normal if in your dating, when you kiss another person or have sex with another person, it's very normal to feel like you did something wrong. And again, it's just because you are so used to, you only kissed and had sex with a particular person for a long period of time. And then it happens with someone new and it's going to feel weird. I remember when it happened for me, I felt very guilty. It felt like I did something wrong. It felt like I was cheating. But again, that's just something that everyone experiences. Everyone goes through that process. So the last thing that I want to answer is, should you talk about your ex with someone that you're dating? On the first date, I wouldn't. I don't think it's necessary. I do think eventually it's good to talk about exes with the person that you're dating. Not so much to make comparisons. I think it's just good information gathering of, what was your longest relationship that you were ever in? You know, why did it end? It's good to know relationship history with someone that you are pursuing a relationship with. But I think the mistake that a lot of people make is early on in dating, they tell the person that they're dating about their ex and all the ways that they hurt them or betrayed them. You're almost hoping that by telling the person you're dating this, that they're not going to repeat those behaviors. And it's almost like you're unconsciously placing a responsibility on the person you're dating. And that's not fair. That's not fair to them. It's not fair to you. It's just not good to put. You have to remember that the new person you're dating is not your ex. They're a completely separate person. So yes, it's important to take into account things that happened in your last relationship. And it's important to heal the wounds and the scars that you have from your ex. But it's very important also that you take all that information and you move forward in a fresh way. I think it can be very harmful if you go into new things hoping that other people are going to make up for your ex's downfalls. So in that regard, I would pause on bringing up exes for a while. And you're just not, especially if you're not fully over them, you're just not in a place, I believe, where you can be completely objective about your ex, and you don't want to lie. You don't want to be inauthentic. So I think you can say when your last relationship ended and just move on from there. I don't think any positive can come out of that. And you also don't want to have, you don't want to bond with someone new over something so negative. So if you guys both start talking about your exes and this, you know, they were similar and it causes this bond, and it might feel like you guys are more compatible than you really are, or it could feel like, I know when you share stuff like that, it can cause you to feel more intimate with them faster. And I think it's kind of a false sense of intimacy because it's not really who you are. It's just something that you experienced. So dating can be scary. Dating can also be fun. I would definitely recommend, if you haven't already listened to 2 weeks ago's episode with Bella Gandhi, I would also recommend the episode with Dr. Jenny Tates, where we talk about singlehood. I'm always very cautious talking about dating on this podcast because I don't ever want to think that, I don't want anyone to think that dating is the remedy to going through a breakup, because it's not. I think they're two different things. So if you'll notice, I will never advertise a dating company on this podcast, and I have gotten many offers, and it's just not something that I ever want to do. So hopefully you feel a little more at ease on how to incorporate the breakup you're going through into dating again, whether that is happening tomorrow, a month from now, 6 months from now, whenever you're ready. So yeah, that's today's episode, and I will see you guys back here again next week.
I hope you enjoyed today's show. If you loved it, I hope you'll leave a review and share with your friends. If you're not already following me on Instagram, head to @yourbreakupbestie, where I'm sharing new content almost every day. To join our Facebook group, Healing Hearts Club, where you can connect with thousands of people from all over the world going through breakups, head to the link in the show notes. And don't forget to check out my online courses for more in-depth help through your healing journey. I always end these episodes the same way, reminding you to be nice to yourself, stay connected with loved ones, and the biggest reminder is that this too shall pass. I promise.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.